of his grace, my gracious master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our presence and bids us sorrow cease.
I like that verse.
I really do.
Number five.
Hear him, ye dumb, your loose tongues employ. Ye blind, behold, your Savior come, and lead me lame for joy.
Glory to God,
and praise and love.
Exodus chapter 4.
I'm going to read the first 17 verses.
It says, And Moses answered the Lord, told him to go to the elders of the people, and they would hear him and hearken unto him. Moses answered, Behold, they will not believe me.
Nor hearken unto my voice.
For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said, What is that in thine hand?
And he said, A rod.
And he said, Cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent.
Moses fled from before it.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail.
And he put forth his hand and caught it in a rod in his hand.
That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared unto thee.
And the Lord said furthermore unto him,
Now thy hand into thy bosom.
And he put his hand into his bosom.
And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again.
And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom.
Behold, it was turned again to his other flesh.
And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign.
And it shall come to pass, if they shall not believe also these two signs,
neither hearken unto thy voice, thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on dry ground.
And pour it upon the dry ground, and the water shall take out of the river, shall become blood upon the dry ground.
Moses said, O my Lord,
I am not eloquent.
Neither heretofore nor since hath spoken unto thy servant.
But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.
And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?
Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the blind?
Am I not the Lord?
Now therefore go,
and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say.
And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses.
And he said, Is not Aaron thy brother?
I know that he can speak well, and also, Behold, he cometh forth to meet thee.
And when he seeth thee,
he will be glad in his heart.
Now shall speak unto him, and put words in his mouth,
and I will be with thy mouth,
and with his mouth,
and will teach you what he shall do.
And he shall be a spokesman unto the people.
He shall be unto thee instead of a mouth.
And thou shalt be unto him instead of God.
And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand wherewith thou shalt do signs.
Let us pray. Our Father,
bless you and thank you.
Mercy.
sweet,
precious,
ever new, every morning.
We thank you
that you consider ruined, wretched sinners
in your grand plan of election,
salvation.
We thank you, Father,
that you chose your people before the world began,
not counting
that anything that could ever be
should please thee,
but doing all that was necessary
for their salvation.
What you require,
you accomplished.
We marvel at the thought of it.
We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ,
that perfect death offered unto thee satisfied your justice
and your law,
which propitiated you and caused these wretched sinners to be your sons, not servants,
to be welcomed in your family, adopted and born again.
We think of these things, and they are too wonderful for us.
We bless you and thank you.
We pray for those who are sick,
those who are going through great afflictions, sorrow, and anguish of heart.
I know it's every case.
Help, Lord.
We know that there's nothing too hard for you.
You can heal.
You can speak, as done is done.
Your purpose shall come to pass,
and none can turn it back.
We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ,
glorify your name
to heal these sick folk.
And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you might be with us
in the presence of your Holy Spirit
to take those blessed things of Christ and reveal them unto us.
Show us what we are.
Show us our great need.
Show us our weakness and our frailty.
We might fall upon thee and trust thee
as our only hope in this world.
Help us, Lord, we pray in Christ's name.
Amen.
And when our Lord was about to heal a man's son, actually,
who had suffered convulsions and deaf and mute since he was a child,
our Lord said to the man who asked the Lord for help,
He said, if you can believe, all things are possible
to him that believes.
And to this statement, the man replied, Lord, I believe.
Help thou my unbelief.
In another place, after our Lord told his disciples to forgive and forgive every brother always,
the disciples said, increase our faith.
Increase our faith.
To that he said, if your faith is as a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
I know some people who've tried to gain that kind of faith all their life,
but that's not what our Lord is setting as an example that you ought to achieve.
He said, you'll never have that faith.
These come with much prayer and fasting.
He told the disciples, increase our faith.
Increase our faith.
We don't have that kind of faith.
Only one man ever had that kind of faith,
and that was Jesus Christ
as he walked upon this earth.
But these were examples of the ever-present nature within us.
The plague of our soul and the bane of our spirit.
And that is our unbelief,
which is the title of our message tonight.
Unbelief is the mother of all sin.
And it's not only found in the heart of the infidel,
but is the thing that is always contrary to the spirit
of the believer.
The flesh is the old man that troubles the new man.
It's always with us.
So that we cannot do what we would.
Paul said to the Galatians,
the flesh lusts the spirit,
the spirit lusts the flesh,
so we cannot do
what we would.
These are always contrary to one another.
Unbelief is,
he said to the Corinthians, that high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge,
knowledgement of God,
that must be brought to the obedience of Christ.
The only man who ever believed.
Unbelief is the first thing that the Spirit proves men of.
Look over at John chapter 16.
John chapter 16 is our Lord preparing his disciples' departure from this world
after the crucifixion and ascension.
They are troubled.
And so he says to them in John 14, let not your heart be troubled.
God believe also in me.
I go to prepare a place for you.
If I go, I will come back and I'll bring you to that place I prepared for you.
But in John chapter 16, he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, my spirit.
He says in John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
It is expedient that I go away. Why is it expedient that the Lord didn't stay here
as a visible human being on this earth?
It was expedient that we would understand that we walk by faith and not by sight.
That was necessary.
He said, if I go away, the comforter, the paraclete, the one that comes alongside you, will not come to you.
But if I depart, I will send him to you.
And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Now, had he left there,
Religion would come up with all kinds of things to define those three elements: sin, they'd call drinking, smoking, messing around with folks, going to the movies, going to the internet, taking cocaine, they'd do all kinds of things.
So that's sin.
They would look at righteousness as holy living.
That you're not living holy, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to be a good person, a righteous person in this world.
Then they look at judgment and say there's a judgment coming and people don't believe in Jesus going to hell.
They'd nail it now.
But our Lord knows that.
And so he defines what these things are.
He said it's going to reprove the world of sin.
Verse 9, of sin.
What is sin?
Because they believe not on me.
That's unbelief.
The very first thing of righteousness, because I go to my Father.
What does that mean?
That Christ has been made to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Of judgment, because I'm going to judge Satan, the prince of this world is going to be cast out.
He said, I have many things to say to you,
but you cannot bear them yet.
Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth.
He shall not speak of himself.
So if he speaks of himself, he wouldn't be speaking the truth, would he?
For whatsoever he shall hear,
That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
He shall glorify me.
For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath in mind, therefore said unto you.
He'll take of mine, and he will show it unto you.
That's what the Holy Spirit is.
And the first thing he reproves men of.
All men.
Is that they don't believe in Jesus Christ.
The flesh and the spirit residing in the bosom of the believer prove a mysterious thing.
There is no dotted line drawn in the middle of our mind, our bodies, and our hearts
that enables us to know which is which most of the time.
What is flesh and what is spirit?
Sin that is clearly defined and prohibited in Scripture is easily attributed to the flesh.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. We know that's a sin. But unbelief is a subtle thing, as subtle as a serpent may be, and may take the form of humility.
It may take the form of meekness.
It may take the form of pride, and even boldness and obvious courage.
Unbelief may even manifest when a thing is so amazing and wondrous that it seems too good to be true.
One time the disciples said to the Lord, they believed not for joy.
it's just too good.
It was overwhelming.
Sooner or later, the believer is going to say with Paul,
With my mind I serve the law of God, and with my flesh I serve the law of sin and death.
That's not going to change.
Jude wrote of those who were saved through fear, yanked as it were from the fire,
hating the garment spotted with the flesh.
And the spots that dot the garment are the forensic blood spatter of unbelief.
And the passage I read for tonight's consideration is a very interesting one.
Talks about throwing down a rod and turning a snake, but you inside your shirt, put a leprous.
Those things are very interesting.
And I'll look at them more at our next meeting.
But as I read this passage, I was struck with three responses that Moses uttered in reply to the Lord's command
and the Lord's promise,
and even the miracles that were performed before Moses' eyes.
The Lord had commanded Moses to gather the elders of Israel.
Everything he said in this passage is about that incident of gathering the elders of Israel.
Not talking about going to Pharaoh yet.
It's all about getting all the elders of Israel.
These are God's people, supposed to be worshiping God.
The Lord commanded them to tell them that the Lord had visited them and seen their affliction.
And was going to deliver them from the slavery of Egypt.
That's what Moses was to tell the people.
And the Lord had promised that the elders would hear Moses.
The Lord said they will hear.
They will listen.
They will hear and they will hearken.
That means they will act upon what they hear.
They will hearken unto you.
And he said they would come with him to face Pharaoh.
And that's a promise of God.
The first verse of chapter 4 is Moses' response to that.
And it's an example of unbelief.
The Lord said they will hearken in verse 3 and verse 18.
He said, and they shall hearken unto thy voice.
And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews
has met with us, let us go these three days into the journey of the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God.
They will hearken, the Lord said.
What does Moses say?
Moses answered,
Behold,
they will not believe me.
They will not hearken unto my voice.
For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Moses said they would not believe or hearken.
What entered into the mind of Moses?
Not known, but every preacher can relate to his response as they consider when they have an opportunity to set the gospel.
And knew that those they spoke to would not believe them.
You've talked to people about Christ, you see it in their eyes.
They roll their eyes.
They don't know what you're talking about.
You know they won't believe.
You know that.
Moses knew.
That's what he knew.
I'm going to tell them. They won't believe.
They won't believe.
And the truth is this.
They will not believe you.
And they will not believe me.
And they will not believe Moses.
They will not believe them.
If they believe, it will be a miracle of God's grace.
It will be a gift of grace.
And they will believe God if they really believe.
But the heart of this response is not born of an understanding of grace.
It's born of unbelief.
And the unbelief thinks that the result is somehow up to the one who speaks.
That's what he's really saying.
They won't hear me.
I'm going to fail
because they won't hear me.
God said they're going to hear you.
And they're going to hearken unto you.
We often take it to heart as if success was never in our court to begin with.
We could never get that out of our minds.
And start believing God.
What a world this would be.
Results are not in our hands.
They have never been in our hands and never will be in our hands.
Scripture says the Lord's sheep will hear His voice.
And His voice is not our voice.
We're saying words.
We're forth tellers.
We tell things out.
His voice is His word.
His word.
Which He says in John 6:63 is spirit and life.
My words, they are spirit.
He said, the flesh profiteth nothing.
My words, they are spirit and they are life.
Our commission is simple.
To tell.
To the Lord belongs the increase, and it is He who adds to the church that they should be saved.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
It's the Lord that does this.
And unbelief.
What unbelief really is, is somehow in our minds.
We feel like when we obey the Lord's commands,
somewhere in that picture,
there is the element that we must accomplish something.
we must see some result.
That's unbelief.
That's what Moses said.
They won't hearken unto me.
And after the Lord had performed those two miracles with the rod and with the hand and leprosy,
and promised a third,
To cause the elders to believe.
Moses replied again in verse 10.
And Moses said, Lord,
I am not eloquent.
Neither therefore, nor since.
Thou hast spoken unto thy servant.
I wasn't before you spoke to me, and I ain't eloquent now. What that means, I'm not a great speaker.
I don't do well with words.
He said, I'm slow of speech. And slow of tongue.
And here Moses takes humility, or unbelief, and it takes the form of humility.
But it is ill-formed humility.
His unbelief is manifested in somehow the result of the Hebrew elders heeding and hearkening him, has to do with his ability to speak, his eloquence, or lack thereof, usually thinks that it actually plays into the effectualness of God's promise.
God's promise that the elders hear and hearken is entirely up to God to perform.
And Abraham believed God was able to perform that which he has promised.
It says in Romans chapter 4, that's where it comes from.
We trust God to do these things.
God has told us to preach the gospel.
God has told us to tell folks about Christ.
God has told us to tell folks what he's done for us.
What he's done for his people.
We're to set forth the glories of Jesus Christ in that perfect sacrifice.
We're to do that. But we're to stop there.
That's the hardest thing for us poor old human beings, is that we just don't believe enough to believe that God's going to take whatever that is and do something with it.
But he will.
Because he has promised he will.
He will.
God promised that the elders would hear and hearken, and it's entirely up to God to perform it.
That don't mean you don't do what God's told you to do.
But it simply means take yourself out of the equation as to any result of it taking place.
Our Lord says how his gospel comes to me.
Remember, Moses' complaint was, I'm not eloquent.
How does our Lord say his gospel comes to men?
Stammering lips, with stammering lips and another tongue.
Fear and trembling, Paul said, I come to you in fear and trembling, not with words of men's wisdom.
That's how God uses.
Not words of men's wisdom.
He uses his gospel self to set forth the truth.
So that there can be no doubt that the performance of the promise and the obedience of the command belongs solely to God.
How do I know that? Because he does stammering lips, our slow tongue, our lack of eloquence.
That's how he does it.
So no man can ever look at us and say, we caused that.
Now men do have eloquence.
Some men are eloquent speakers.
Some men have power of personality and character.
And because of that, men actually attribute their salvation to the man.
And they follow the man.
But it's not the man that saves.
It's the man that tells.
I remember one time Jerry Falwell years ago said he couldn't wait to get to heaven
and find all those people who come up and shake his hand and say, thank you for saving me, Jerry.
And they get to heaven, that's what they'd say, because Jerry saved them.
God didn't save them, but Jerry did.
Us poor creatures, wretched, weak, timid, frail, fearful.
With trembling lips, stammering lips,
we tell folks.
And then we back away.
Because God's promise.
My word.
Shall not return to me void.
But let it go where I send it.
And accomplish what I purpose.
God said he'd do that.
And that's the truth.
That's the truth.
God uses men to preach the gospel so that there can be no doubt that the performance of the promise
and the obedience to the command belongs solely to God.
Why will these Hebrews hear?
Because God's going to make them hear.
Now Moses is going to tell them.
But Moses ain't going to make them hear.
And after the Lord rebukes Moses and promises to be with his mouth and teach him,
what does he say?
Verse 13.
He says, O my Lord, send thy prayer thee by the hand of him whom thou wilt send or see.
What's he saying?
Well, he's responding in unbelief.
Moses is basically saying, please send someone else to do the task. And many and say, he was the Messiah.
Well,
he's coming.
He's coming.
But not yet.
Again, this is the form of humanity manifested in unbelief.
Moses is still believing
that the results belong to man.
Send somebody else to do it.
In this case, he believes that a better man can do it.
A man with different and better abilities can do it.
The message of Isaiah loud and clear when he sees a man whose breath is in his nostrils.
For where is it to be accounted of the Lord? Hear the word of the Lord.
He said, I have purposed it. I will also do it.
I have spoken it, and it shall come to pass.
Moses, go gather the children of Israel,
the elders,
and tell them that God has appeared to you.
They'll hear you,
and they'll hearken.
And Moses could come up with excuses because of Moses' unbelief.
Moses believed God.
He believed God, just like all true believers believe the gospel.
That doesn't take away this thing in us, this flesh in us.
It makes us want to say, somehow,
I have to make this work.
We can't make it work.
But God will.
Because he has promised.
Oh, to trust him.
Only trust him.
Oh, to only believe God.
And remove ourselves from equation except what God has told us to do.
Father, bless us to understand and pray in Christ's name.
Amen.